Welcome to God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech you to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds, we may serve and please you. Into your hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let your holy angels have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Holy and righteous God, merciful Father, we confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you above all things, nor our neighbor as ourselves, and are worthy therefore to be cast away from your presence if you should judge us according to our sins. But you have promised, O Heavenly Father, to receive with tender mercy all repentant sinners who turn to you and with a living faith seek refuge in your fatherly compassion and in the merits of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Our transgressions you will not regard nor count them against us. Relying upon your promise, we confidently pray that you would be merciful and gracious to us and forgive us all our sins to the praise and glory of your holy name. Amen. Remember Joseph. His brothers kidnapped him and sold him into slavery in Palestine. He understood that his brothers and their families would join him in Egypt during that time of famine in Canaan. God brings Joseph to Egypt and he ultimately becomes governor of Egypt because of his management skills. 300 years after Joseph, times have changed. The relatives of Joseph are in bondage. Moses is born and God arranges him to be brought up in Pharaoh's household. Moses attempts to help the Israelites at age 40 and he ultimately flees Egypt. 40 years later, he is minding sheep in Midian when God calls him out from a burning bush. Moses is obedient to God and God's plan and goes to Pharaoh demanding that Pharaoh set the Israelites free. 10 plagues later, they hightail it out of Egypt from the delta area of the Nile and come south. Pharaoh changes his mind and pursues them, but his forces are defeated by God and drowned in the Red Sea. Those Israelites continue going south on the east side of the Red Sea within a mile or so of the sea, and on one side, the mountains are on the other. No water. They stop at a place that has bad water and people complain. The Lord shows Moses how to sweeten the water at Marah. They go on to Elim, where there is a good oasis, 12 different springs. A month and a half after leaving Egypt, God is providing quail and manna to complaining Israelites. They head for Rephidim, and we find them complaining again in today's lesson, Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water, that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock and the water will pour out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The central question coming out of this lesson is this: How should we deal with problems when God doesn't handle them the way we expect? And the big idea is this. Our expectations do not change God's plan for the world's salvation. Let's begin by looking at why they were where they were. God had directed them to leave Egypt. Our first point comes out of verses 1 through 3. God gives the direction. Now let's review God's big picture here. The plan of salvation. We started with a world and a universe and a creation that were all good. Sin entered the world through the hand of Satan. Mankind bought into Satan's temptation, and the whole universe began a time of travail, waiting for God's answer to disaster. The answer was Jesus Christ. But he had to be born. God's enemy Satan sought to prevent God's plan from implementation at every turn. Cain kills Abel. The offspring of Cain could not become the Messiah. God finds a way through Noah. Satan subverts the whole world so that God destroys much of humankind. If all of mankind is drawn away from God, there can be no Messiah. God saves the human race through Noah and ultimately Abraham. Satan leads King Saul to attempt to kill King David again and again. David lives, and through him come Mary and Joseph, the human parents of the Messiah. Satan thought he had God beaten when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, died on the cross of Calvary. God gave Satan no clue that Jesus Christ would rise from the grave, forever defeating Satan. Today's lesson is one little skirmish with Satan. It is one story in this long saga where God is getting the people who would be the source of the human Messiah lineage to the promised land. Satan is predictable. He attempts to separate people from God. Satan focuses on problems and short-term answers. There is no water, so it is God's fault. Satan plants the idea that the people should destroy God's messenger. The human response to God's plans is predictable. Here's the scenario. The people cried out to God for freedom from their bondage. God revealed his directions through Moses and delivers them from Egypt. The people do not get it. They bypass God and complain to Moses. Moses took the problem to God. Do you get the idea that something isn't right here? We see this happening in today's lesson. Exodus 17, first three verses. Then all the congregation of Israel set out according to the commandment of the Lord, but there was no water. The people thirsted and complained. Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt, Moses, to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Do you see how the blame has been shifted? The point is this. There is very little excuse here. The Israelites understood that they were a people with a promise of salvation for the world. They understood that God had given them specific directions to get them to the promised land. Yet, they again and again, just like in today's Old Testament lesson, complain and murmur against the ones God has appointed to accomplish his very will. You can't change God's directions by changing leaders. Well, what do you do when people don't follow directions? Don't you take them to the one who gives directions? We're looking at verse 4 now, which gives us our second point. God listens to the problems. Moses had a problem, don't you think? Do you see the kettle boiling here? Moses is in real hot water. Moses has been faithful and has been following God's plan. The people have forgotten God and only see Moses. The Moses they see is one big irritation. The people have forgotten God and they only think of immediate desires. Moses brought his problem to God. Moses looks around and sees the lynch mob coming in his direction. So, what does a prophet leader do? Vamoose? Where would he hightail it to? Moses has spiritual insight here, and he takes the problem to God. Moses doesn't even talk about water to God. He talks about his own skin. Moses looked for God's answer, not his own. Moses explains to God what is happening. God tells Moses two things. Get some of those people who are involved with the actions against him involved with the solution. Use what have been tools for the spiritual life in times and past and put them to work again. Get that stick or that rod that was used for a miracle and put it to work again. God listens to Moses and he gives Moses an action plan. Moses did what all people who follow the Lord do. They tell God about their problems. Exodus 17 verse 4 says, "So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me.'" The point? We live in a time when people want to think of God as being aloof and somehow alienated and separated from mankind. Today's lesson reveals that God is faithful. He is close to us. He listens to our problems and concerns. He encourages us to continue on in His plans, even when others seem to be out to get us just because of those very plans. Well, let's look at how God answers prayer. Is it the way we anticipate? We're moving on to verses 5 through 7, the third point. God answers in unexpected ways. Have you ever heard God answers prayer? Look at what happens when Moses prays. God tells Moses to deal with the problem by including the source of the problem in the prayer. God tells Moses to use some of the same resources he has used in the past to accomplish God's will. Moses has to step out in faith, and God promises to come through. So Moses gets the elders together and drags them along. Moses gets that miracle stick and drags it along. Moses does what he is supposed to do, and the answer to the problem comes. God doesn't answer this prayer by zapping the bad guys. God changes their hearts through grace. There is no indication that God does not desire our good, even when we are down on God and His direction in our lives. Exodus 17, verses 5 and 6. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Here's the point. God works through human events, both the expected and the unexpected. God is consistent in His love and graciousness. God provided His Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. The plan constructed in heaven for our salvation predated creation itself. God worked through human history to implement that plan. Today we recount how God did what was totally unexpected. Yet, God is perfectly consistent. You and I can expect God to do the unexpected in bringing closure to the spiritual issues we bring to Him. Let's try to pull these ideas together. God handles our problems in ways we do not expect. God sent Jesus Christ into the world to seek and save the lost. When our lives get messed up and people desire our destruction, when we seek the will of our Heavenly Father, we can take comfort from the Bible narrative, which assures us that God does indeed give His people direction, that He listens to their problems, and that God answers them, sometimes in unexpected ways. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the one to lead us when we have problems. Thank you for being the shepherd, the one who can give us the direction we need. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you and the Holy Spirit are a listener and counselor to your people. Give us spiritual eyes to see your hand in human affairs. Help each of us understand your leading in our spiritual lives. Amen.
Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning devotional is brought to you by your friends at Historical Zion Lutheran Church in Silver Hill. We believe that the Lord calls on His people to worship Him and share His word. Zion Lutheran Church is located on the corner of 7th Street and 4th Avenue, one block south of State Highway 104, near the Silver Hill Library. We share the Lord's Supper on the first and third Sundays of the month. Want additional information? Go to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or call us at 945-5209.
Are you looking for a midweek Lenten worship experience? Please join us this Lent at 7 p.m. in Silver Hill at Zion Lutheran Church as we honor the Lord Jesus Christ with Lenten Vespers each Wednesday night through March 5th, and then Monday, Thursday, March 13th. Each Vespers service will be preceded by a light soup and sandwich supper at 6 p.m. in our fellowship hall. Please join us for fellowship and worship.